Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. This morning, we're going to finish out our series on the mission of the church. This is the 14th lesson, so we've spent a fair amount of time talking about what God expects from us as His church. And in this last lesson, I'm simply asking the question, what now? What do we do with that information? We have from way back in lesson one, talked about kind of four categories of activity that God expects us to be involved in. And we've worked our way through all four of these, looking to Scripture for a pattern of what God expects us to be about. And in thinking about the question, what now, I truly believe that if we think back on what we've looked at, it should be a challenge to us. A challenge to examine both individually and as a church what we are about and whether or not we are living up to the mission that God has set out for His church. Does that make sense? And so this is, in a way, a review, but is also a challenge. You know, not just because we're beginning a new year, but it coincides with the first day of a new year. And it's an opportunity for us to kind of revisit those four categories and say, what should we be doing with the things that we have covered throughout these lessons? So we're going to work our way back through these four items quickly. And thinking about, you know, what does this mean for us? Now, the things I'm going to talk through, it doesn't mean that we're not doing these things, but is again, is an opportunity for each one of these for us to examine and say, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing, both as individuals and as the church? So let's talk about worship first. We spent several weeks talking about worship, even having services centered around different acts of worship. One thing that I hope all of us will remember, that individually, we get to choose how we use our worship time, the time that we're together. We get to choose how we use that. And in view of that, and in view of what we have studied, we need to remember that worship is not just going through the motions. Just coming here, sitting in the pew, checking a box, does not mean that we are worshiping God. What did Jesus tell the woman at the well in John 4? God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. Spirit to spirit, according to the way God wants to be worshiped, according to His truth. And we each have to ask ourselves when we choose how we use our time, am I using this time to worship Him in spirit and in truth? Again, going through the motions, having a routine, is not worship. Worship is deliberately, and when I say deliberate, I mean purposefully, being engaged in activities like singing and praying and breaking bread and studying. They're purposeful. They're purposeful. And we need to remember, and again, I'm speaking to myself too, because I said back when we went through this that I can think of times when I know I came into a worship service, I put my mind on cruise control and just floated through the service, and you come to the end of it, if you had said, hey, what were the songs that we sang? What did we pray about? I couldn't have told you. So I'm saying this to me too. This is a purposeful time. This is not a, you know, punch in the time clock when we get here, punch out the time clock when we leave, and hey, we fulfilled our obligation. We can choose to use it that way. But what God intends for His people is to worship Him in spirit and truth. We talked about how, going back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, that approaching God is a serious matter, where Solomon said, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. It's a serious matter. This is not a light thing to undertake to approach God. We also talked about how in the Hebrew letter in chapter 12 that in view of everything God has done for us and given us, that He deserves our worship with reverence and with awe. And so let 2023, for some reason that was hard to say, be an opportunity for us to examine as an individual, how am I using my worship time? Am I purposeful in what I'm doing, what I'm engaging in? Am I using my time to be purposeful in my singing, in my participating in prayers, in my participating in breaking the bread, in studying the Word of God to learn what His will is for my life? Am I being purposeful? Am I taking it seriously? And am I approaching God with reverence? Let us take this opportunity for this year to ask ourselves those questions. Now, as a church, and remember, a church is simply the sum of our individual, of us as individuals. We're each part of the church. The church, remember we talked about the ecclesia, the called out. But as a church, there are some of us, and I'm in this group, that play a role in organizing our services and in conducting our services. And for us, let this be a challenge to put together worship services that are conducive to worship with reverence and with awe. Not something taken haphazardly, but something done with purpose and intent. One thing we have to remember, and I just said this earlier, I'm going to say it again, is that we have to be careful that we don't just mindlessly go through a routine and fall into a rut. Remember that routine is not worship. You can search the scriptures from beginning to end and you're never going to find a prescribed order of what, the order of things are supposed to happen in a worship service. And sometimes I think we can allow ourselves to go, hey, if I follow the routine, that's making me spiritual. That's making me worship. No, worship is what I do directly spirit to spirit with God. And I'll be honest with you. I started monkeying with the order of worship during when we were talking about worship. And I thought there's going to be some folks that are going to be unhappy. And not one person said one thing to me negatively about it. And kudos to you for that. Because the purpose of that was to maybe pull us out of our routine a little bit and think about why we sing, to think about why we pray, think about why we observe the Lord's Supper, to think about what, preaching and studying is really supposed to be about. And I believe, and a couple of you said this to me, maybe we should do that more often. Shake things up a little, not for the purpose of just shaking things up, but to pull us out of our routine so that we remember that the routine is not worship. I was reminded in thinking about that, of this book. I don't know if any of you have ever read this book, but this is one of the best-selling business books of all time called Who Moved My Cheese. Anybody ever read this book? One person, two of us, Miss Kim. This book has sold over 30 million copies. And it is a super simple little book called Who Moved My Cheese. This is a book about dealing with change. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about this book, and then I'll tell you why I was thinking about this. This book is a fable. It's an allegory about two mice. Let me check my notes. I always forget the name of the mice. I haven't read this book in probably 25 years. I had to read this as part of a business class in college. The mice are Sniff and Scurry, okay? There's two mice and there's two humans, but now the humans are the same size as the mice, best I remember. And the humans are named Him and Haw. Now, what do we do as humans when we're indecisive? We Him and we Haw, right? So the two humans are named Him and Haw, and they all four of them, the two mice, Sniff and Scurry, and Him and Haw, are in a maze. The maze represents the world around you. Okay? And they all four go into the maze and they find cheese. And they find cheese at this one location. And they get used to the routine. We come to the maze to this spot and we find our cheese. And one day, they go there and the cheese is gone. The cheese is gone. The two mice, Sniff and Scurry, immediately go throughout the maze looking for more cheese. But Him, of Him and Haw, Him says, no, 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 I'm staying here, I'm waiting for the cheese. And Haw begins to talk to Him and says, no, 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 we got to go look for cheese, even writing things on the walls of the maze. Even eventually goes out and finds little bits of cheese in other places and brings them back to Him, and Him won't eat the cheese from anywhere else because Him is determined to stick with the routine, even to His own detriment. He will never go look for other cheese, and He will never accept cheese from somewhere else to His own detriment. I was thinking about that because we, again, as a reminder, if we just do things always according to routine, we can be pulling ourselves out of a spiritual, worshipful mindset and thinking that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. So never be afraid to say, hey, we need to pull ourselves out of the rut for just a minute so that we can remember why we do the things that we do. Okay, not for the purpose of just changing things, but so that we don't just begin to worship the routine. Does that make sense? Okay, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not saying, hey, we need to turn everything upside down. No. But we have to be careful that the routine does not become what we think is worship. Okay? Because that can be to our own detriment, that we're not really worshiping God. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to this. Let's move to edification. Edification mentioned at the time that that is simply a word that means to build up. To build up. And in Scripture, I believe there are two primary things that we find that deal with building up. There is encouragement and there is teaching. Encouragement for the purpose of strengthening each other. And teaching and studying for the purpose of building, of us being built up to be disciples of Christ. Right? Now let's talk about encouragement. Encouragement. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, he's talking about, similar to what he says in 1 Corinthians 12, about how we each have different abilities. We have different things that we're good at, different ways that we can work within the church. And in Romans 12, he says, whatever you're good at, do what? Go do it, right? If you've got the ability, go do it. And one of the things he says, if your ability is in exhortation, then go exhort. And so with this idea of building up, let's look in 2023 and say, hey, if we have the ability to be an encourager, then let's go encourage. As an individual, ask yourself, can I be an encourager? And if the answer is yes, then find ways to offer encouragement. I have a suggestion, and this is for me too. Set a goal. Individually, go, hey, I'm going to find one person in the church every month, every week, every whatever you set your own goal, and I'm gonna offer them some encouragement. Could just be a quick word you say to them, could be a note you pass to them, could be an email you send to them or a text if you have such contrivances. But it could be simple, right? It can be super simple, and you may never know, but you may make someone's day. You may give them the strength to deal with something that they're facing. I have a non-church related example. So I've told some of you this. I am the president of our homeowners association. And I, generally speaking, I hate it. I hate it. I did it because I'd been living in the same neighborhood for 20 years and thought I probably ought to do this, you know. I probably ought to do this. But it's usually you're just dealing with problems or people that are upset or fussing or whatever. I even had one earlier this week where we've been taking this vote on this amendment and this, you know, someone turned in their approval to the amendment and then called me to tell me why it was a bad idea. I was like, but you just approved it. I just don't understand. So most of the time, though, I'm just going, it's just trouble. Now, there's the positives. But then I got an email this week, Thursday, from one of my neighbors, said, I just want to say thank you for serving as president of the HOA. It is not a fun job, but you have just the right touch in handling matters and you make a difference. Wishing you and your family a good new year. It made my day. I was like, I could be the HOA president for the next 10 years. It made my day. But you see how simple that is? It's so simple, right? It's so simple. And how many of us can do something so simple? And one thing to remember is never assume someone doesn't need encouragement. Because almost everyone is going through something, whether we know about it or not. And we have an opportunity to be encouragers. Let's endeavor in 2023 to be a Barnabas. Remember Barnabas? In Acts chapter 4, we're introduced to Barnabas, known as, his name is Joseph, but they called him Barnabas. And what does Barnabas mean? Son of encouragement. That's his nickname. Endeavor, let's endeavor to be a Barnabas, a son of encouragement in 2023. The other aspect of edification is teaching and study, receiving teaching or personal study. Let's talk about to the teachers. And I'm in this group, right? I'm a teacher. We have an awesome responsibility that we need to remember. Paul told Titus and Timothy, two evangelists that he mentored, almost exactly the same thing. Give yourself, teach, make sure that you are teaching what accords with what? He said to Titus, sound doctrine. What does that mean? You are teaching the truth that comes from God's Word. It's an awesome responsibility. And those of us who teach, again, just like we talked about, those of us who put together the worship service shouldn't be haphazard. Same thing with teaching. It requires an investment. It requires a commitment. And I am grateful for everyone who is involved in teaching and who makes that investment. You are doing something that is worthwhile. And if you're involved in teaching, I encourage you to continue to invest. Invest in study, personal study, so that you can teach those who need teaching. It is an investment. And I would say to those of you who have been involved in teaching in the past and maybe haven't done it for a while, maybe try it again in 2023. Maybe volunteer to teach because, again, we all need teachers. We all need to be taught. We all need to hear from others' experiences and experience with the Word. And so, don't be afraid to jump back in and be a part of teaching, whether it be teaching the little ones or the teenagers or the older ones who are maybe more hard-headed and harder, it takes longer to hear something. Don't be afraid to jump back in as teaching. As students, which we're all students, right? Hopefully we're all students. My encouragement is to find a way, whether it's a daily Bible plan or it's some, everybody learns different. I don't presume to say this is how you should do it in 2023. No, everybody learns different. Some people can do a daily Bible program and follow along with it and make it through Leviticus and keep right on going. Others of us, we start off on a daily Bible program, we get to Leviticus and go, woo, that's hard, you know. Figure out some way to make the study of God's Word a regular part of your life. Eddie Gray prayed in our adult class this morning about, Lord, help us to prioritize. And one way we can prioritize is in personal study. And again, that could be a daily Bible program. It could be, hey, I'm going to spend a month looking at this one book and go to another book or whatever. Whatever. You do you. But remembering that Paul told Timothy, there's going to come a time when people will not endure sound doctrine. Let us all be ones that are open to sound doctrine, even in personal study. And then as students, at the feet of a teacher, giving them the attention. Checking what they say. Don't ever take what I say at face value. Double check me, because I'm not the source of truth. I told you the very first week that I was, named as your preacher. My goal is to take the Word of God and give it to you and get out of the way. So check what I have to say against Scripture. Ask questions. Give feedback. Be engaged in teaching. Edification. Let's talk about benevolence. Benevolence. Benevolence just simply means doing good to others. Doing good to others. Matthew 25, talk about this passage a lot, but at the end of Matthew 25, you have the picture of judgment between the sheep and the goats. And the distinction between those two groups is whether or not they help someone who was in need. I think each of us has an opportunity as we move forward to say, to look for opportunities to help people in need. And that could be, you know, hey, it could be encouragement. It could be visiting. It could be writing a note. It could be taking a meal. It could be helping with chores. It could be any number of ways that we can help those who need our help. Could be bringing a situation to the attention of the church, which I think our folks do a great job of situations that need prayer, or even situations where someone may need some help with something specific, someone that we don't even, you know, have a direct relationship with. So don't be afraid to do that. And as a church, we need to remember that as we think about how we use our resources, that benevolence should be a priority for how we use our resources. Because God expects us to do good to others. Paul said in Galatians 6 to do good to everyone, especially those who are part of the Lord's church, but to do good to everyone. Finally, evangelism. We have to remember that everyone who has not accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ is lost. Everyone. Scripture makes it clear. You know, Jesus in Mark 16 said, you know, those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who do not will be, what? Condemned. Paul on several occasions expressed that everyone without Jesus is under sin and worthy of death. If we don't have Jesus, we're lost. And we are a church in the midst of a world that is lost and dying. And evangelism is a commission that Jesus gave to, that began with his apostles, Mark 16, Matthew 28, that we then saw the apostles transfer, you know, carry out by empowering those who they taught to teach others, to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Evangelism is simply building a relationship with someone and introducing Jesus to them. Simply what it is. And may we in 2023 look at both our existing relationships and new relationships we can form, and ways in which we can say a good word for Jesus, introduce Jesus as a church. As a church, again, we're looking, how do we utilize our resources? One of our priorities should be in evangelism. Whether that be, you know, outside of our community or our state, our country, or right here in Pleasant View. And I have a challenge for all of us. We've been emphasizing the last few weeks how, you know, this coming up with ideas for team strength and how we build up our body internally. I have a suggestion. Let's build a new list of service opportunities for 2023. Let's build out our calendar for what we plan to do in 2023. We had several activities that we involved the community in as a way to say, you know, in some cases to say, hey, we're here, we're alive, we want you to be, you know, we want to be a part of our community. We did some service projects, like taking food to the school. Let's think about ways that we can be involved in benevolence and evangelism in this community. If you have ideas, feel free to send those to me and I will compile them. Just like we did last year, we'll put a list on the board where folks can sign up for them. Okay? These can be things that are events we do for our community. These can be service projects that involve taking care of a need in our community. These can be evangelism efforts. Several of the things that we came up with last year, we did them or we continue to do them. You may not know, but Chelsea volunteered to not only help us design the cards, but she's sending out those cards every month to people who move into our community. She took that and ran with it. Let's come up with what we want to do in 2023. Let's make a plan and then go execute it. So if you have ideas, let me know what those are and we'll put together a list. And we'll plan on doing those. As we close, I want us to think about something that we mentioned in we mentioned this through the study, that each of us has been blessed by God with seed that we can sow. We put those into the categories of time, talent, and treasure that all of us have. We have time. As I said when I did that lesson, that the older I get, the more I realize that time is the most valuable thing that I have. We each have talents. We've been given abilities. As Paul again said in Romans 12, if you have an ability, God expects us to go use it. And we have treasure. Most of us have been blessed with the world's goods that we have been entrusted with to use for God's kingdom. And with regard to the time, talent, and the treasure that we have as individuals and collectively, question I want to ask is, are you all in? And we're going to continue this in tonight's sermon when we look at what does it take to be a disciple of Christ. I hope I don't get in trouble with this illustration. Before I say it, I am not condoning gambling in any form. You're going to, wow, what story is he about to tell? But the reason I use this phrase all in, and when I think of that, I am not a poker player. But several years ago, ESPN started broadcasting this thing called the World Series of Poker. And something that happens in Vegas, and people put, I don't know how much money it takes them to get involved in it, but they put a bunch of money in, and then there's, I don't know, thousands of people that play in this, and they keep playing until they get down to the final two. And I started watching this because I didn't know anything about it. I'm just watching it as entertainment. And I kept noticing this, you know, this phenomenon of they get to a point when they take all their chips and they push them in the middle and they go, I'm all in. I've got taken everything I have and I'm putting it all on the line. And you get that all the way to the very end when there's the final two people there, and it gets to some point when they go all in and they lose and then the other person wins. But all in means I've taken everything I got and I'm putting it all on the line. When you think about the seed that we have, the time, the talent, the treasure, and we're gonna focus on this with direct teaching from Jesus tonight. The question is, for 2023, are we all in for the church? Are we all in for the kingdom of God? Are we all in for Christ? Because without Him, we're without hope. And so we each have an opportunity as this year begins to say, with what I have, with what God has entrusted me with what I know God expects from me as an individual and us as a church, am I all in on my commitment to Christ? Am I going to take what I have and put it all out there for the kingdom of God? Are we all in? Got all the chips. God has given us all the chips that we need. Am I all in for Jesus Christ in 2023? I appreciate you hanging with me, not just today, but through this entire series. I hope that you have found it beneficial, maybe in just, you know, in some cases reassuring the reason why we do the things that we do, but in other cases reminding us of what God expects of us as His church. All of this, going back to even just the definition of church, ecclesia, the called out, it's all possible because of what Jesus did for us. God calls us out of a life lived for self to a life lived toward Jesus because He sent His Son to die for us. That's who we're called to follow, the one who did something for us that we cannot do. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted that call, you've never responded to it, I mentioned how we all get to choose how we use our time in worship. We all get to choose how we respond to the call to follow Jesus. We can choose to ignore it, we can choose to reject it, or we can choose to accept it. And to accept it is to accept a different master, to follow a different master of our lives. The first step after we make that decision to follow a new master is to be buried with Him in baptism, reenacting what He did physically, where He died, was buried, and in 3 days, from Friday to Sunday, came out of that tomb. We talked about the resurrection last Sunday. He walked out of that tomb, and then He ascended to heaven 40 days later as our King. Eddie Ray mentioned in the prayer also that He's at the right hand of God. He is. He's our mediator. And we have the chance to follow Him. If you're here this morning and you've never made that decision to accept, to respond to the call, I encourage you to do that. If there's anything else we can do for you, if you need encouragement, if you need prayers, if there's anything we can do for you, please come while Steve leads us in our invitation song.